Hello and welcome to season four, episode three of the Emotional Autoimmunity Podcast. I'm your host, Kerry Jeffrey, living here in a very hot and humid Melbourne, Australia at the moment. Technically, we are in autumn, but summer weather is still hanging on. I also want to let you know for the recording of this podcast that I am having quite a high symptom day. So I think I told you on the last podcast that I've had my first experience of COVID, and it has certainly got some symptoms hanging around still. It has certainly dropped me back a couple of levels in energy and function. I'm a little bit brain foggy and requiring a lot more rest. So if you hear some stumbling and I lose some words, then I know, as other people living with chronic illness, that you are going to absolutely understand that. So for those of you who aren't familiar with me, I am a coach, I am a therapist, counselor, clinical hypnotherapist, and I work with people all over the world. And when I say that, I mean literally in any country where we can make the time difference meet, so that we can arrange online sessions. All my work is online and I work with programs. And I'll tell you a little bit about that in the message from our sponsor about midway through the podcast. So today's episode is about self-pity, self-compassion, and toxic positivity. And these are all things that you are probably going to feel quite familiar or experienced with when it comes to living with chronic illness. Because being told that you are feeling sorry for yourself or you're stuck in self-pity, and experiencing lots of toxic positivity is something that is probably quite familiar to you that you've experienced. And today I want to talk about how this all links in with the experience of becoming chronically ill, which, as you're aware, is life-changing. And unfortunately, this is something that the non-chronically ill community does not understand, because they simply can't conceive of being in a position where you become sick and you just don't get better. So it's an ongoing emotional load that we all carry for constant need for self-advocacy. And if you have the energy to expend, then to do some education about what chronic illness actually is. So let's talk about what pity is. So pity is actually a feeling of sorrow for the suffering of others. So the feeling of sorrow for somebody else's suffering. But the whole thing about pity is that it often has a judgmental component, because what it means, as we're looking at somebody's suffering and seeing them as less than us. Right, so feeling sorry for them puts them in a position of they're less than us, they're not the same as us, they're those poor people, right? So those poor sick people or those poor whatever people, there is an inbuilt position there of judgment and seeing somebody as less than. And while pity can move people, and quite often does, because if you look at the basis towards a lot of charities, what they're going for is they're going for pity. They want you to pity these people, but to make it more realistic, they also want to get you to empathize with those people. But if you look back into like the earliest ways that we were trying to raise money for charity, it was very much about that shock value, to make you aware of people's suffering, to get that pity going. So it doesn't normally feel good to be pitied. It can sort of feel like you're being judged or someone is looking down on you. So pity is not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I've had many moments where I've just wanted someone to acknowledge my suffering and say, oh, you poor thing, you're going through a lot. And that's felt good. But if all you're getting is pity without any real compassion or without real empathy or attempt to understand, and if you're getting pity along with toxic positivity, then that is not a very good feeling. It's not a good thing to experience at all. But that's a general definition of pity. So self-pity is considered to be a very excessive or self-absorbed dwelling on one's own problems or troubles. And seeing you as completely focused on feeling bad about your own situation. And that's something that's often thrown at us. You know, all you want to talk about is the illness. Well, that's then a self-pity. All you focus on about is how bad you feel. So that's then a self-pity. And if you look at the psychological literature on self-pity, they consider that people can get stuck in self-pity. And when you do, then you separate yourself from others, you isolate yourself from others, and it drives you to this constant negativity. And in some respects, what seems like an exaggeration of your suffering. So you're dwelling on it. That's all you talk about, and that's all that you can see. And see, the problem with all of these categorizations and pathologizing of normal human emotions is that it doesn't allow you to see all of the factors involved. Because from the layperson's perspective, what they're seeing is someone, in this case with a chronic illness, who seems to just be dwelling on all of the negatives of their situation. Right, all they want to talk about is their symptoms. All they want to talk about is how bad they feel. But what they're ignoring in that assessment that they're making is the actual shock and grief that person is experiencing. What that person's experiencing is a loss of the self, a loss of the life that you had, that you are so aware of the huge and impactful changes of going from being healthy to going to being chronically ill, that you're actively grieving that loss. You're in shock of that loss. You're still sitting in the wreckage of your life, trying to work out what the heck just happened to you, why this is happening, and more importantly, with chronic illness, why isn't there anybody out there that seems to be actively helping you? Because at the same time you're experiencing this, you are running smack up against all of the cracks and the issues that exist in our medical system. And that includes things like medical gaslighting. That includes things like hitting the doctors who think they know, the dismissiveness, the unwillingness to look any further, the unwillingness to do more testing, the active reality of somebody with chronic illness who often is forced to try and go from doctor to doctor to doctor at great financial and emotional and energetic cost just to simply try and find someone who's going to help you. And people without chronic illness, they're not aware of the layers of difficulty and emotional challenge that is involved in having chronic illness. So it's easy for them, from their position and lack of knowledge and lack of understanding, to say that you're feeling sorry for yourself. You're being too negative, right? You should be grateful for the things that you've got. And that's where we're already, you can see we're starting to merge into toxic positivity. So they're not understanding the full life impact on so many different levels that becoming chronically ill has. And what also happens when you're deep in your grief and you're deep in your shock and you're in that process of trying to reconcile and accept what's happened to you while needing to be the driver, the constant driver to actively help yourself, and then hitting all of the brick walls in the medical system, and then realizing the full weight that all of this is on you, right? Everything is on you. You are the one that's going to drive it. You are the one that's got to figure it out. You are the one that has got to try and find a way to help yourself. And if you take all of that into consideration, then yeah, there's a lot to feel really sorry for yourself about. And the whole thing is if we're looking at labels like self-pity, it's denying the very real and appropriate emotional human experience of being in that situation. Those feelings are very valid and very real and very appropriate. But because people can't understand the context about what chronic illness is, then it's easy for them to say, well, you're stuck in self-pity. And unfortunately, this does tend to happen if you're seeing more traditional psychologists or counselors or therapists who don't have a working knowledge of all of the emotional and psychological and physical impacts of what chronic illness does to somebody's life. And that's unfortunately another big crack and wall in the systems that we have, because we don't talk about chronic illness. People don't understand what chronic illness is in the whole area of health and wellness. It doesn't fit into the traditional model of you get sick and you get better, or you get sick and you're terminally ill, or you experience a disability. And they normally see that as something either congenital or something that happens to you from an accident, or a natural disaster. They don't understand that chronic illness often involves an invisible disability, so you can't see that disability. And the disability of chronic illness is often a dynamic disability, so it's constantly shifting and changing as both your energy and your functionality is shifting and changing. And that's another thing they can't wrap their head around. You know, they can't deal with an ambulance wheelchair user. So someone that some days does need a wheelchair, someone that can stand up from in a wheelchair, someone who other days can walk on their own, or someone on other days who needs a rollator or a cane. I have needed a rollator myself in the past, taking that out, because my recovery period and my disability from that new diagnosis meant that I needed to have those disability aids. Right. So people can't understand why your abilities are constantly changing. And then in order to make sense of it, they think that you're pretending, or you're putting it on, or you're faking it, or it's not as bad. So you're always experiencing this judgment. But as you can see, it's a big and multi-layered topic. So before I get into toxic positivity, and I'm just going to pause to have a drink of my tea. Oh, that's better, because I still do have a dry, tickly sore throat from this COVID experience. I want to talk about one of those brick walls that we can go into when you have chronic illness. And this is also to talk about what I do. So this is a word from my sponsor. My sponsor is me. So generally, by the time I get to see a person on the other side of the screen in my free discovery session, they've already tried to find help. So they've tried more traditional therapy, they've been to psychologists, They've been to different forms of therapists, and I've often they've even seen psychiatrists, because what they've been looking for is a way to come to terms with what I was talking about before, like this new reality of what it's like to go from being healthy to chronically ill, and to find yourself in the experience of that, because it is life-changing. And when you have chronic illness and you are trying to work it out and you're trying to talk about the grief and the fear and the denial and all of the things that go along with that, the overwhelm, the exhaustion, the brain fog, the feeling of that you are so very different, that feeling that you've lost yourself. Unfortunately, that's not something that most therapists, counselors, coaches, psychologists, psychiatrists can understand. And if you're seeing a psychologist or a psychiatrist, you need to understand that the basis of that is like a medical framework. So what they're looking for is a cluster of symptoms, in this case, which are emotional symptoms rather than physical symptoms, in order to give you a diagnosis of a mental illness or a psychological condition, whether that's anxiety, whether that's depression, no matter what that is, that's what they're doing. So if they're hearing you grappling with the changes that they don't understand from chronic illness, then they're going to be more likely to give you a diagnosis of depression or anxiety or another label that, from their perspective, it covers the cluster of symptoms that you're presenting. And so they might be trying to get you to talk about other things than the symptoms or other things than the illness, or either say you seem to be really focused on that, and we want to shift your focus into something else. So this is the difference in the work that I do, because I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. Like, anytime you can find someone who can sit there and attempt with compassion and empathy to hear you and to sit with you in your pain, then that is a very worthwhile experience. I am a big fan of therapy. I've had a lot of therapy throughout my life, and I have no hesitation in seeking out the right therapist to support myself in my experiences. The difficulty that I find now is finding someone who understands what chronic illness is. So, from my experience, I don't do traditional based therapy. So, I'm not looking for clusters of symptoms. I'm not looking for a diagnosis. I don't diagnose people. What I'm here to do, because of my own experience as a therapist, because of my own experience as someone actively living with four autoimmune conditions, is to help you understand why you're feeling the way that you are. And more importantly, to help you understand that the grief and the overwhelm and the anxiety that you're feeling is completely normal. That's the basis of my work, because what you're experiencing in your life with chronic illness is the same way that any human being would react to being in that situation. It's just that chronic illness is so poorly understood and so little talked about that most people have no concept of what it is. And more importantly, how it feels as a human being to have your life so dramatically changed by a disease. And my job is to help you move through your feelings, right? To give you practical tools. Because if we get back to the subject of the podcast, right? When you're accused of self-pity, when you're accused of feeling sorry for yourself, when you're accused of just, you're just so focused, you're too negative, you're just stuck. All you want to talk about is the illness, right? We do get stuck. We can get stuck like any human being in the overwhelming experience of chronic illness, especially when you're being so poorly supported by the medical community, by our social systems, and by our understanding. So, one of the hallmarks of chronic illness is the isolation. You feel like no one understands what you're going through. So, here's where I come in. I absolutely do understand what you're going through because I have been through it, I am going through it. And using all of the skills that I had as a therapist before chronic illness, I've needed to develop a whole new framework for myself to get my way back to my best physical and emotional health that I possibly can. And I actively use these new tools and frameworks in my daily life. Right. So through my recent experience of COVID, I was definitely picking up the tools to deal with the active suffering that was involved in that, with the very real, very ever present, feels like ongoing, never ending physical symptoms that I was experiencing with that. So I hope that's given you a little bit of insight into the difference between the way that I do therapy and coaching and the framework that I have, as opposed to the kind of therapy or counseling or psychology that you might have already experienced. I don't do that. I have training in that. I'm not a psychologist, but I do have a degree in psychology and many other certifications and qualifications that I've gathered along the way. And if you're interested in those, then you can see those on my Work With Me page or the About Me page on my website at Emotional Autoimmunity. So all of that information is there. And for you to know that you can get a free discovery session with me online, right? So that's just, we're going to meet up. You can book yourself in. All I ask is if you book it, please show up. It is my time and energy that I'm giving you. It is a commitment that I'm making to you. There are options that you can cancel through the booking system if you feel that you can't make it. So for any reason you don't want to go ahead with the booking, there are options that you can cancel, and that's going to be helpful to both of us because it means I'm not going to be sitting online waiting for you to show up. So you can actually book a free discovery session with me online, and you can do that from this podcast. There's a little link below the podcast that you can do that. And what that involves, we're just going to sit there, we're going to meet online. You tell me what you feel comfortable sharing about your illness, and if I feel I can help you, I'll let you know. If I feel that I can't, I'll let you know. But in most cases, I pretty much can help you. I'll tell you exactly how I can do that. I'll tell you which of my programs I recommend, and I do not want a commitment from you in the discovery session. It's just basically an opportunity to meet me. And then after the discovery session, I will send you an email with my summation of how I see your issues as you've described them to me. And then once I send the email and the options to work with me, that's it. I don't do any follow-up. So I hope that explains to you the difference in what I do from more traditional therapy that you might have experienced in the past. So let's move on to toxic positivity. And we've all heard this, right? Things like, well, you should be grateful that it's worse, or, at least it's not cancer, or you should be focused on the positive. You're being too negative. You need to be focused on the more positive things. Or, there's lots of people worse off than you. You might have even practiced toxic positivity on yourself by telling yourself, oh, there's always somebody worse off. I've got no right to feel this sorry for myself. It could be worse. All of these different sorts of things. And I'm sure that, like me, you've heard many of them, and it's time for some tea. My throat's feeling quite sore. That's better. Okay. So what toxic positivity feels like, it feels like shaming. It feels like invalidation. It feels like minimization or a brushing away or a denial of your very real and valid feelings. Toxic positivity invalidates normal, human, appropriate, and valid emotions in that experience. So toxic positivity is an unrealistic expectation that we are all supposed to maintain a consistently positive outlook under any and all circumstances. And the person using the toxic positivity with you is expecting you to suppress or deny how you truly feel, like your valid lived experiences, for their comfort. Because they don't feel comfortable. They want to minimize your genuine sadness, your genuine pain, your genuine experiences, because hearing about it, they feel uncomfortable. And I'm sure this is something you've experienced when you've been talking about. You might have opened up, you might have made yourself vulnerable and confided to a friend or a partner or a family member how scared and afraid and overwhelmed and hopeless you feel in this new experience or this ongoing experience of chronic illness. And they've shut you down with this toxic positivity. Or they've shut you down because they don't want to hear about it anymore because they don't know how to help you. Or they might say things like, well, I'm sick of hearing about it. No, I'm sorry, there's a big truck going by at the moment. I hope that's not coming through on the audio. But they don't want to hear it. So they shut you down. And there is a very real thing, of empathy burnout. It happens frequently in any of the caring community. It's something that as a coach and a therapist, I need to be constantly managing for myself because the reality is that on an ongoing basis, I'm dealing with people, as most everybody does in the caring profession, that you're dealing with people in very real pain, whether it's physical pain, whether it's emotional pain. So it's very important to have the right skills and the right systems in place so that you don't end up feeling overwhelmed or burnt out from that. So yes, friends and partners and family members who don't have professional skills can feel overwhelmed. There is carer burnout, right? It's a very real thing. And carers need to be supported. It's very important for anybody in a caring position to make sure that they've got people that they can go to. They've got people that they can talk to. They've got people who can help to support them so that they can continue to be involved in their caring role without feeling overwhelmed or burnt out, right? But toxic positivity is a way of shutting people down. And when you experience it, it feels unsafe and it feels demeaning. And it ignores the very real harm and loss. It ignores your normal and appropriate feelings. And what experiencing toxic positivity does is it leads to increasing isolation because you're going to start suppressing how you feel around those people that have given you the toxic positivity because you don't want to feel shamed, you don't want to feel demeaned, you don't want to feel unsafe because, in order to create trust and in order to grow in a relationship, we need to feel safe to allow ourselves to be vulnerable, to reveal our true selves, knowing that we are going to be accepted and supported. And the whole thing is, when you're in a life-changing situation, as you are with chronic illness, then you do need to be dealing or getting help from people with a very specific skill set. So chronic illness is life-changing, and investing in working with a professional, and that does not need to be me. I'm not the only person out there, right? I'm not the right therapist for everybody. But it's important to understand you're going through a life-changing, isolating, poorly understood, ongoing illness. Everything has changed, and you do need support. It's not a normal illness. It's not a normal experience. Nothing in your life could have prepared you for the experience of becoming chronically ill. I know this. I had a lot of really good skills before chronic illness, and I needed for myself, for my own recovery, to get my life back. And I want you to understand, like, my life was over. I was so disabled cognitively and physically. I could not work. I could not care for myself. And I didn't know what was going to happen to me. My whole future was uncertain. I didn't even know if I was going to survive the experience. And if I don't work, I can't pay my rent. I can't pay my bills. I can't pay my medical expenses. Right. So, and at that stage, there was nobody, no doctor to tell me I was even going to recover. So when I say I know how it feels, I mean, I know how it feels. I live this. I'm not talking about theory. I'm talking about ongoing lived experience. Do not let anyone invalidate to you how much your life has changed, because it has. And the fact that they don't see it or understand it does not mean it's not real. It just means they don't see it, they don't understand it. It's real. Okay. So if you're dealing with people who are telling you to think positive, and that can be coming from a really good place, right? Toxic positivity isn't always, it's not people trying to bring you down. Like, often people think they're being helpful by saying, you know, think positive. You're being too negative. You just need to think positive. So there are some things, if you've got people in your life that are good people, and I'm sure that you do, that you can manage this relationship by saying things like, look, I really need to talk about how I feel right now. Can I count on you to listen to me? I just want you to listen. I don't want any solutions. I really need to talk to somebody about how I feel. So can I count on you to listen? Right? Or you can say something like, look, I need to process what's going on for me. I need to talk about just what I'm feeling, and I don't want you to solve it for me. I don't want solutions. I just want to vent. And in general, that's a really helpful phrase that the people around you, it's one that you can give to your partner or your friends. It's a really good thing for anybody that you know in your life is going through something. You can say, okay, do you want to vent or do you want solutions? Then you're giving them permission to either way, because most people just want to give you solutions. It's something that, as helpful human beings, that we want to do. If we hear somebody with a problem, then we immediately want to jump into solution focused mode. Okay, so remember that one. Do you want to vent or are you looking for solutions? I'm good either way. I'm here either way. So we've gone through toxic positivity, we've gone through pity and self-pity, and now I want to move into self-compassion, because this is what I want you to encourage you to have. So in the same way that you have beautiful empathy and compassion and support, you can put yourself in the shoes of what somebody else is going through, then that famous quote from the Buddha, you most of all deserve your own compassion, because we are so often harsh and critical of ourselves. We are suffering, actively suffering. And instead of getting in there with the compassion and the reassurance and the support and the love that we would give to anybody else that we care about who is suffering, we don't. We actively stand by ourselves and say, that's right, it's going to get worse. You're not tough enough. You're weak. You've got to try harder. You've got to do more. You've got to push through. You've got to pull yourself up, right? So we toxic positivity bombard ourselves. We are cruel and critical and harsh on ourselves. So compassion involves empathy. It means being able to understand and support, to be present and accept how that person feels in their experience without judgment, without criticism. So self-compassion means acknowledging the difficulty of your situation, the reality of what you've lost, and being able to be kind and compassionate and encouraging and supportive to yourself. What the space of self-compassion allows for you is for you to experience the very real emotions that you're going through. And the whole sad thing about the toxic positivity and the positivity movement in general is what it does is it categorizes emotions into good emotions and negative emotions or bad emotions. And I call rubbish on that. No, every emotion is valid and appropriate. It is valid to feel sad in a sad situation. It is valid to feel defeated in a situation that feels overwhelming to you. It is valid to feel afraid in a certain situation. It is valid to cry in a situation where that is appropriate, right? All human emotions, anger, fear, anxiety, grief, depression, they are all valid, normal human emotions. And like any emotion, they need to move through us. And the only way they can do that is if we're in a space where we can talk about them and acknowledge them and feel them and process them, right? Even if the person we're doing that with ourselves is us, you can journal it out, you can talk it out aloud, right? Your feelings are valid. There is no such thing as negative emotions. So it's normal for someone in an experience of chronic illness where they feel overwhelmed, where they feel in grief, when they feel afraid, when they feel that they're running headfirst into roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, when their very real experience is being denied and trivialized and told that they're making it up or they're exaggerating or they're being negative or it's all in their head. Of course, that person is going to want to keep talking about their pain. Because the reason people keep talking about their pain is they feel they're not being heard and they feel their pain is not being acknowledged and validated, that they feel that at every attempt to talk about their very real feelings, they're being met with negativity and denial and minimization, and they're being shut down. It's very real to feel stuck and overwhelmed when you have chronic illness. It's painful, it's debilitating, it's ongoing, it's scary, it's overwhelming. And the reality is, everything is on you. Who wouldn't? What normal person, what normal human being under that circumstance wouldn't feel those very real, normal human experiences? So you have every right to feel sorry for yourself. You have every right to feel all of your feelings. And I want to encourage you to shift from self-pity, which does contain that component of judgment for yourself, into self-compassion, which is acknowledging that this is real and this is valid. Everything that I feel is real and valid and deserving to be heard and deserving of compassion and empathy and understanding and support. So give yourself that compassion that you need. And remember, if you're really struggling with this, if you're looking for someone to help you, I'm here. You don't have to go through this alone. So I hope this has been useful for you. I know this is a really big and complex topic. I could talk about it for hours, but I hope that's given you a good understanding of those different components of self-pity, self-compassion, and toxic possibility, toxic positivity, and how it all relates back to chronic illness. So I'll be back with you in a couple of weeks. Bye for now.